Time to meet the men from the ministry. You're invited once again to take your seats at the Whitehall Spectacular with Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley, John Graham, and the men from the ministry, Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. In government work, it's important to preserve detachment, to avoid becoming emotionally involved. But sometimes when one is confronted with a really appalling outrage, it's hard to suppress one's feelings.
A very ugly business, too. We must tread on this with a firm hand.
Stop the rot before it spreads.
Quite. If we let this firm beat the Trades Description Act, others will do the same. Boiling baked beans, indeed.
Lovely cup of
chow. Ah, tea time, yes. We'll put the tray on the cabinet, would you, Mildred, so that Mr. Lamb and I can carry on working.
What? Carry on working during a tea break? You all right, Mr. Lennox Brown?
Perfectly, thank you, Mildred. Yes.
Yeah, and what are you doing with that missile? Aren't you having your usual cakes and biscuits?
Well, surely you know what we're doing, Mildred.
No.
Oh, no, of course you were away last week, weren't you? Yeah, one of your colds, was it?
Oh, no, sir. I've got rid of them now. I take honey every day.
Oh, what was the trouble then?
I was attacked by a swarm of bees.
Well, we're doing this vital job for the Board of Trade, you see. They needed a couple of OAFS.
Well, there's no answer to that, is there?
Yes, we're oafs, Mildred. Yes, official advisors on food standards.
The government have set up a couple of committees to defend the nation's stomachs.
We've agreed to sit on them.
We went to a factory yesterday and their meat pies had real meat in them. Totally unnecessary extravagance.
And we found that cafe on the corner is serving the most appalling hamburgers.
No, you mean hamburgers.
No, Mildred, hamburgers. The manager's hat fell in the mincer.
Now we've discovered one firm are boiling their baked beans, and they're putting too many in a tin.
Go on.
Well, we intend to put a stop to it.
We certainly do. Those baked bean people are going to get the wind up.
Even these doughnuts, you know, don't conform to ministry standards. The dollop of jam isn't exactly in the centre.
I'm prepared to force mine down, but I shall certainly bring it up at the Board of Trade.
By the way, Sir Gregory said he was coming over.
The permanent undersecretary?
I'll let him come too. Sir Gregory doesn't frighten me. Even though he is a proper little Hitler.
Aha! There you are.
Oh, hello, Sir Adolf. I mean, Sir Gregory. What was that you said? Shocking weather we're having, eh, too?
Oh, very naughty. Nasty.
Why is it that every time I enter this office, you all look like startled ferrets? You're not afraid of me, are you?
Yes, we're not, Sir Gregory.
Now, as you know, the Civil Service Staff Magazine has an article each month about people in various departments.
Oh, yes. Last month they did that chap from pensions, Mr. Shorthouse.
Yes, pity about the misprint.
Well, for the next issue, they've decided, for some unaccountable reason, to interview you two.
My word. An article about us in the Staff Magazine.
How exciting.
Yes.
I've always wanted to be in it.
Well, if you put a foot wrong, you will be in it up to your necks. It's vital that you project a good image for this department. Otherwise, you'll answer to me.
Yes, Sir Gregory.
Now, Miss Groper, who edits the magazine, will come to see you tomorrow afternoon.
Oh, an interview with Miss Groper, eh? Now, that should be very pleasant.
You won't have one of your nervous fits, will you, Lamb?
Oh, no, Sir Gregory. I'm not scared of interviews. I shall just open my mouth and throw myself into it.
Yeah. Well, you'd better do the talking, Lennox Brown. I've always considered you the lesser of two evils.
Well, thank you.
Now try. Do try not to let me down again. Please.
Fancy. An article in the Staff Magazine.
Yes, well, I'm surprised they haven't featured us before, you know. I mean, there can't be many people doing the sort of thing we do.
That's true.
Perhaps after all this, they'll publish some of my poems. I've been submitting them for years, and they always turn them down.
Oh, still, they did write you a note last time.
Yes, the editor said your poem was so bad we had to rewrite it before we could throw it away.
Now, listen, to don't waste Miss Groper's time talking about your wretched poetry.
I know.
She's coming to hear about our work.
Yes, ma'am.
Besides, I want to tell her about my gardening notes.
Gardening notes?
Oh, yes. In my view, the magazine should carry a regular advice on gardening. And I am the man to supply it. Oh, I have a whole drawer full of articles on horticulture, you know. Yes. Oh, by the way, Mildred, that one I dictated last week. Did I give it a title?
You called it, If You Can Do It in Your Garden, You Can Do It in Your Window Box. Yes.
Well, I shall demonstrate my prowess to Miss Groper and offer her a regular service.
Here, I've just remembered, sir.
Yes.
You were going to that factory tomorrow. Do you want me to cancel your visit?
No, Mildred. We mustn't let this publicity divert us from our work. We'll go to the factory in the morning. We have to inspect some sausages and pies for traces of protein.
This seems a very big concern, man.
Oh, one of the biggest in the country. You see their slogan everywhere. Aykroyd's sausages and pies, no one can touch them.
Hello. Are you the man from the ministry? Jolly Jack Aykroyd at your service. I do.
Mr. Aykroyd, well, my name's Lennox Brown, and this is Mr. Lamb.
We have some queries about your product.
Queries about my product? Oh, you'll not find better the length and breadth of the British Isles. All our pastries handmade by highly skilled girls. Here, you can try one of our pies.
All made by girls, you say?
Aye, and if you fancy any of our tarts, you're more than welcome.
Well, looking at these in the display case, Mr. Aykroyd, I'd say there's too much fruit in them.
You what? Too much.
The Food Regulation Act of 1968, Section 3, Paragraph 7, clearly states that the fruit content of any tart, pie, or flan shall not exceed 4/9 of the overall volume unless planning permission has been obtained.
Well, I'll be jiggered.
Very possibly. I'll have a closer look if you'll pass me one. Would you care to give me a raspberry?
Not half. Here you are, then.
Look, man, there aren't enough crinkles round the side of the pastry. They don't conform to Arts Council specifications.
Dear me. And look at those sausages over there.
There's nought wrong with my sausages.
And just hold out that tray of black puddings, would you? That's it, thank you.
That one in the corner's not black enough. It's all grey and wrinkled and nasty.
That's no black pudding. That's my thumb.
Well, these cooked meats over here clearly contravene the Trade Descriptions Act.
Trade Descriptions Act?
Yes. I don't believe your Scotch eggs come from Scotland at all.
Oh, by heck, I've stood enough of this. Get out. Get out, the pair of you.
But we haven't examined the sausages. Can we take them with us?
You can take them, if I can. I'll hang them around your neck for you. Now get out of here before I set the dog on you.
You can't frighten us, my good man. We'll go when we're ready, and not before.
As it happens, we're ready now. Come on, through, run. And don't come here again, or I'll do you.
Well, thank goodness you're back. I was quite worried about you.
We were worried about us, Mildred. That man in the factory turned very ugly.
Now, we've got to get ready for the interview.
Oh, Miss Groper just rang. She's on her way, sir.
Good. Now then, carnation in the buttonhole, I think. Remember what Sir Gregory said, too?
Yes?
I'll do most of the talking.
I suppose she might want some pictures.
Yes, well, I thought of that. I brought this one I had taken during the war.
Oh, may I see, sir?
Certainly there are.
Oh! Yes. I never realised you were in the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Yes, well, I wasn't, exactly. No, it was taken during an amateur production of Rosemarie. Yes, the civil service players, you know.
Well, I'll just go and tidy myself up for the interview, take me rollers out and change me eyelashes.
Just a moment, Mildred. This interview won't involve you, you know. These articles only concern senior executives, you see.
Oh. Well, in that case, I'll go and get on with my knitting. Didn't want to be in the mouldy old magazine anyway.
Just pass my comb, would you? I'll just give my moustache a little touch of the final brush up. There we are.
What's all that paper on your desk?
Well, those are my articles on gardening.
Oh, yes. Let me see. The giant leek and its problems.
Yes.
The ideal bed, its roses every time. Never let your hollyhocks dangle.
Don't crease the pages, please. I want them to make a good impression on Miss Groper.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm Miss Groper, editor of the staff magazine.
Oh, come in, madam. Do.
Thank
please
you.
Please, come in. Yes, have a seat, will you? This is Mr. Lamb.
How do you do?
Hello.
Yes, we're always glad to help the press, you know. Now, perhaps you'd like this photograph of me, would you?
No, thank you. Actually, I brought along my own photographer, Mr. Armstrong.
Oh.
He's on his way, but he caught his tripod in the lift gates. first.
Ah, then you'll want to hear about my career in the civil service.
Yes.
Yes. Well, I'm 35 years of age.
I beg your pardon?
45 years of age. And I run this department with energy and efficiency. I may say my position, you know, is of some importance.
Ah, now I wonder if you could tell me what the General Assistance Department actually does. I mean, for instance, what did you do this morning, Mr. Lamb?
We were probing this chap's black puddings, and some of them weren't, and there were too many sausages on the chain, and he had all these tarts laid out, but they weren't crinkly enough, and when we told him, he turned very ugly.
I'm sorry.
So am I, Miss Gripper. My colleague's been overworking lately, you see, and he refuses to take the tablets.
Oh, I see. You know, I must say, your department's always been something of a mystery to the rest of us.
It's always been something of a mystery to me, madam.
How fascinating. You mean there's an element of secrecy about your work?
Well, I can say in all honesty, it would be better not to talk about some of the things we've done.
Yes. What are your hobbies, Mr. Lennox-Brown?
Ah, now, I'm glad you asked me that, yes. I wondered if I might be so bold as to show you my articles.
Pardon?
I'm an expert gardener, you see, and I've written several excellent pieces on the subject. I thought you might like to peruse them with a view to publication in your magazine.
This is his latest, Miss Groper. Have a dibble on your allotment.
And I have many more in that vein.
Well, I hardly know what to say.
Well?
Oh, thank heavens, that will be Mr. Armstrong, my photographer.
Yoo-hoo, guess who? Oh, I'm sorry I'm late, but your lift gates are brutal. They close so quickly, they nearly ruin my long focus.
Good afternoon, young man. I'm Lennox Brown, and this is Mr. Lamb here. He's the number two in this department, and I'm one.
Oh, well, I am pleased to meet you.
We've not yet settled on our photo layout.
But never mind, I'm sure something will develop. Oh, get me with my ready repartee.
I see myself in profile, Mr. Armstrong, with a shaft of sunlight catching the edge of my bowler hat.
Yes, well then, let's start with you, Ducky.
Oh, right.
Well, I must say, this hasn't been my easiest assignment.
Well, never mind, Miss Groper. Think of the excitement when your piece comes out. A lot of people are going to be very interested.
But, comrade, life in Britain is tough for us spies at the moment. Yes, even for a big spy ring like mine. No, it wasn't always difficult. Britain was the ideal place for spies. Well, at worst, they left you alone. At best, you wrote for the Sunday papers. But now British counterintelligence are trying to stamp us out. They call it Operation Weed Killer. Well, what can I do? We are trying to identify the men behind it. Then we'll put the pressure on them. No, they keep their intelligence department secret. No one knows who they are. Ah, here's Brodsky now. I'll ring you back, comrade, if I have any news. Well, have you made any progress?
It's possible.
Hmm?
As you suggest, I have studied every document connected with British government service.
And have you identified their intelligence department?
Maybe, yes. In this rubbishy staff journal, I think I have, how you say, put the finger up them. See here, Lennox Brown and Lamb of the General Assistance Department.
You think it could be them?
Look at their photographs. No one could be that stupid. Read about their work. It's a complete nonsense. It must be, how you say, a front.
Let me see. Mr. Lennox Brown said he was currently trying to ascertain what makes a sausage roll.
What sort of a job is that? And checking the wrinkles in pastry.
Poof! You're right. The pastry is obviously a cover.
They even admit here they admit that some of their work is secret. It could be Operation Weed Killer.
We'd better look into this.
But one thing puzzles me.
Mm-hmm.
They can't both be head of British intelligence.
Why not? Two heads are better than one. Brodsky, when the commissar makes a joke, you laugh with the eyes as well. Better. And now then, it'll be necessary for you to have a closer look at their office. A little visit, perhaps, using a clever disguise.
Oh, when should we get rid of them sausages, Mr. Lamb? They don't look very pretty dangling from the axe stand.
I shall send them back to Ackroyd with a rather stiff letter. Got your pad?
Yes, sir.
Right, take this down. Dear Mr. Ackroyd, I return your sausages herewith. We find they do not conform to ministry standards, and the same is true of your factory. When we visited it, there was a most unpleasant smell from your obedient servant, Richard Lamb.
Right, Mr. Lamb.
Perhaps you could type it before Mr. Lennox Brown gets back from lunch.
Excuse, please. Are you Mr. Lamb?
Yeah, that's right.
Ah, then I would like with you the little chit-chats.
Blimey, who's this?
Probably one of those efficiency experts they keep sending round, Mildred.
Oh, yes, that is so. I am one of those efficiency experts they keep sending around Mildred.
But you're foreign, aren't you?
Foreign? Oh, struth, no. I am from Oxford and Cambridge, old Pip. God blimey.
Oh, yes, I recognize that MCC tie. I'll deal with this, Mildred. You go make some tea.
All right, then.
So you've come to check on our work.
Very true, old sport. Are you, how you say, topmost man here?
Well, I do most of the work, I don't mind telling you, but technically Mr. Lennox Brown is in charge.
Ah, I am reading an article about you both, where it says you are working with the Scottish eggs and blackie puds.
Yes.
Tell me, this is not your main work.
Well, no. We've also been looking into gooseberry flams.
Please?
And mince pies.
Ah, spies at the Royal Mint.
I beg your pardon?
You are a brave man, Mr. Lamb.
Well, yes, I suppose I am. I eat in the ministry canteen every day. Mind you, I never touch the goulash.
And you have on the hat stand sausages.
Ah, yes, but there's more in those sausages than meets the eye. To experts like us, those sausages say something.
You mean they have a message?
Definitely. This work we do is very important. Searching and probing and watching out for foreign bodies.
Ah, now we come to the gritty-nitty.
Do we?
Do you know anything about weed killer?
Weed killer? No, that's not my line at all. You're thinking of my colleagues.
So, Mr. Lennox Brown is concerned with weed killer. Thank you, old fruit. You have given me much help.
Okay.
In return, I hope I can do you sometime. Doodle Pip, old boy.
Gently, I didn't quite catch the name.
Brodsky. One of the Gloucestershire Brodskys. Chinchy.
Yes. Oh, what a charming fellow. An Englishman of the old school.
Ah, well done, Brodsky.
It was simple, and so is this Richard Lamb. He almost admitted to me there was microfilm in the sausages.
But you think Lennox Brown is the head of counterintelligence?
There is no doubt. He is in charge of Operation Weed Killer. He is their number one spy catcher.
Then he is the one we must attend to.
You don't mean...
I do mean. I am mean. I shall kidnap Lennox Brown and his papers. He will tell us their plans with a little persuasion.
Oh, I shall enjoy that.
Steady, Brodsky, you're sweating again. As some ransom, we'll force the British to stop their activities against us.
Brilliant!
Yes, I shall visit his office tomorrow. A gun in the pocket will do the trick. We professionals, you see, understand each other.
You look very cheerful this morning, Mr. Lennox Brown. The ends of your moustache have gone all twiddly.
Yes, I am cheerful, Mildred, you know. I had another talk with Miss Groper yesterday about my gardening notes.
And is she going to publish them?
Well, at least she agreed to read them after I bought her a sixth gin and tonic. Yes, she's sending a man to collect them this morning.
Well, I never.
I'll speak to him alone, Mildred, and you've got an important job to do.
Righty-ho, sir. Tea for two and not too strong.
That's right, yes.
Oh, and I better nip down the canteen for some more biscuits.
Good. Now then, have all the papers ready. Expose your azaleas to the sun. These look good in print. There's. Ah, now this will be the fellow to collect them. No doubt a large check in his pocket. Come in.
Good morning, Mr. Lennox Brown.
And good morning to you, my dear sir.
I won't beat about the bush. We're interested in weed killer. We want your papers, and I'm going to take them with me.
Well, what can I say? They're all here, tied together with an elastic band.
It's good that we professionals understand each other.
Yeah.
We thought there was more to your life than sausages.
Oh, well, of course. I mean, that's just office routine. My real interest is in this stuff, you see. Yes, I've just completed some notes on pansies.
Ah, pansies. You know, then, that we planted a few in the Foreign Office?
Oh, yes, they make quite a display in the entrance. Mind you, I don't plant them myself.
You don't plant them?
Oh, no. No, I'm a flower pot man.
What?
I'm rather proud of my pink peony. It's created a fair amount of interest, you know.
Well, perhaps we should get back to the matter at hand.
Yes.
I want to go over the ground slowly.
You do?
Yes. There's a lot I want to dig up.
Oh, now, just a moment. You can't do that.
Oh, no?
Certainly not. No, I mean, it's the wrong time of the year, you see.
I think we'd better continue this discussion elsewhere. Come with me, Lennox Brown.
Oh, I'm afraid I can't just walk out of the office. I've only just arrived.
Oh, then I shall have to persuade you. I have something in my raincoat pocket that might make you change your mind.
Ah, yes. I thought you might have, yes. Well, in that case, my dear chap, I'll be happy to come with you.
Good.
Yes, I'd better just leave a note for my secretary to explain my absence.
No need, Mr. Lennox Brown. I'll leave a note on your desk. I have one already prepared. There.
Really? Oh, how very thoughtful of you. Well, after you, my dear sir.
It's only me with a lovely cup of... Oh, blimey, he's gone again. Enough to make a girl spit.
Morning, Mildred. Sorry I'm late. Oh, Mr. Lennox Brown not in yet?
Well, yeah, he's been, but he's just gone and went again.
Well, I'd better get on with these food conformity reports. We found some pretty serious offences. Some of them get quite cross. I can't think why. That Mr. Aykroyd at the pie factory was very angry.
I'll leave Mr. Elby's tea on his desk.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah, what's this?
What's what?
This note. Look!
Hmm?
We have kidnapped the head of your department. If you want to see him alive again, stop your meddling now.
Mildred, that can't be real, surely.
Well, who put it there if it weren't for real? And why did Mr. Elby disappear like that? He never said he was going.
You mean they just came and took him away? But who'd want him? I mean, who'd want to... Oh, dear. It's those food manufacturers, isn't it? They'll stop at nothing.
Darling, I want to... What on earth's the matter with you, Miss Murphy? And, Lamb, why are you biting the telephone flex?
It's Mr. Lennox Brown, sir.
He's been kidnapped, Sir Gregory.
Kidnapped? Nonsense. He's probably sneaked round to see his bookie.
They left his note, sir.
Note? Now, let me see. Good Lord. He has been kidnapped.
Well, it's nothing to smile about, sir.
What? Yes, no, of course, it's very, very serious.
Shall I phone the police? If they act quickly, there's a better chance of finding him.
Well, the police are very busy these days. I wonder whether we should trouble them. Perhaps leave it for a week or two. What?
A week or two? But he's been kidnapped. Don't you want to see him alive again?
Well...
It could damage your promotion chances, Sir Gregory, if they hear you've lost an executive.
By Jove, you're right. We must move at once, or even sooner. Alert the police, Miss Mavin.
Yes.
I'll call out the troops.
What about offering a reward for his return?
How much in the petty cash?
£4.50. Oh, dear, that's hardly appropriate.
Well, never mind. We'll offer half. Oh, and Lamb.
Yes, Sir Gregory?
Inform the BBC.
And here is the news read by John Curl. A senior government official was kidnapped from his Whitehall office this morning. The man, Derek Lennox Brown, is believed to have been working at the time, but otherwise things were normal. Office workers later described the strange man they'd seen in the building, and police issued an identikit picture of the intruder. This resulted in the arrest of David Frost. Mr. Frost was released after pointing out that all identikit pictures look like him. Mr. Lennox Brown is described as thin and graying with moustache, bowler hat and glasses. Over 5,000 men answering to this description have been reported in the Whitehall area, but none was the missing man. The search continues.
Still no news of Mr. Lennox Brown?
No, Mildred, not a word.
Here! What are you doing sitting in his chair?
Was I? Yeah, I was just trying it out in case he doesn't... In case they ask me to take over.
How could you, Mr. Lamb?
Good news, you two. Parker of Pensions heard about the kidnap on the news. He's at home with his chest, and he saw Lennox Brown being hustled into a house in his row. Two burly men were with him, and one probably had a gun. Lennox Brown seemed pale and was talking a lot. Now, I'm organizing a police raid at once. You'd better come to him.
Will there be any shooting, Sir Gregory?
There might be, but don't worry. I'll be right behind you.
Well, I only hope we're in time.
You'd better stay here, Miss Merton. It may not be a pretty sight. We think we know who these men are, and they're desperate.
Oh, poor Mr. Lennox Brown.
Terrible things may be happening in that house.
It's no use pleading on your knees like that. I have no mercy. Stand up and be a man.
No! I cannot listen to Lennox Brown anymore. He's talked about gardening for 5 hours. He's driving me out from my mind.
You fool, Brodsky. It's not really gardening. It's some sort of cunning code.
It is gardening. All we heard this morning was a lot of fertilizer.
Yes, well, pull yourself together, man. We're going back in there, and you will write down what he says. Now then, Lennox Brown, it's time you told us your secrets in plain language.
Oh, my dear chap, have I been too technical for you? I'm so sorry about that. You see, we experts do tend to have our own jargon, you see. Well, I mean, it really boils down to plenty of good old-fashioned horse manure. Dig it well in.
Hoe!
Yes, a hoe is ideal for the task. Yeah. And plenty of compost, of course. Mulch round the roots.
I'm sorry, I must get out of here.
Of course, in a small bed, it's not a bad idea to rotate your blooms, especially in the summer.
Don't play games, Lennox Brown.
Oh, quite right, old chap. Never play games near a flower bed. Can ruin your pinks.
My friend, you are running out of time.
Amazing how it flies when you're enjoying yourself, isn't it? Look, I'd better be off now, but perhaps I could pop in again tomorrow. Huh?
Oh, Lennox Brown, I would...
Hello, Brody. Someone in there.
What the devil's that?
Hold on to them, Inspector. I'll look in here.
Ah, you're here, Lennox Brown.
Good gracious. Sir Gregory, what a pleasant surprise. How are you, sir? Well? Well, why are all these policemen here?
You get out of here, Lennox Brown, and quickly, man.
Well, it is getting rather late, yes. Well, good night, Mr. Shaw. Good night to you, sir. And I must say that I have enjoyed our chat.
Well, the game's up, Shaw. The house is surrounded, and your men have been arrested. Take him away, Inspector. He's a dangerous enemy agent. Oh, and, when you write your report, just remember that I caught him.
You mean to say those chaps weren't from the Civil Service magazine?
Oh, Miss Lewin, how simple can you be? Those men were dangerous villains.
They certainly were. They kept my gardening notes and didn't pay me.
Did you hear that, Mildred? Mr. Lennox Brown still thinks they were after his gardening notes.
Well, never mind, sir. It's just nice to have you back in the office.
Oh, thank you, Mildred. And now, too, if you've finished laughing, perhaps you'll just tell me what this is all about.
I'm sorry, man, but you are so incredibly naive. I saw the whole thing at once.
Well, come on, then, come on.
Those two men were maniac pie makers in the pay of a vast illegal sausage ring. They were trying to stop our food conformity campaign.
Well, I never... I must say, now you say that, it all makes sense. Yes. Well, they won't stop us.
Oh, quite right.
I suggest we crack on at once with further research into food and drink. If Mildred will bring in the samples...
And which particular samples did you want, sir?
I think you can guess, Mildred, can't you? A pot of tea for three and a plate of ginger nuts.
Very good. A plate of ginger nuts.
Sampling Life as the men from the ministry were Richard Murdoch and Derek Giler. Also featured were Norma Ronald, Ronald Baddeley and John Graham. The program was written by Edward Taylor and John Graham and produced by Edward Taylor.